I've started using AI for everything. Because I need a solution. It's amazing. This house we just are blessed with. I just want to say praise God. The blessing of God in our life is way beyond what I can imagine or think. I'm just humbled that we're being blessed right now. But there's a device that I was wanting to see if I could make better. And you take a picture of this thing, and it starts telling you the model number and everything else. And it's like, wow. Now I can do something about that. I can fix it. But I want to talk about our normal mode of wanting to do these kind of things, because what I found out is what needs to be done to fix it. I could also call some person that I don't even know and have them come do that work for me. But it's all about just what needs to be done. A formula, an answer, something that you need. How many need an answer in your life today somewhere? We've always got something going on. Is that right? And we can take this same thing and apply it to our relationship with God as well. Say, what's God going to do for me? I'm going to go to God so I can have him do something for me or tell me what to do. And my answer that I need is something from God. This, I want to just get a little bit of a different perspective on this morning. Are y'all good? All right. Say, I'm here. Because God is especially with one particular area that I'm not going to actually talk about right now, but God doesn't want to be just our answer. He doesn't want to just provide an answer. He wants to be the answer. And I think there's a little bit of a difference here that we can tap into. That what we have is not just somebody that's going to do stuff for us. He's the one. He's the answer himself. And if we're not careful, we miss out on actually him. And we sang about it a little, didn't we? Yeah. If the best thing, I can't remember all the words. I've had it all. You know, that was such a great statement. But you are my everything. But what about the stuff that we need done? Because it can get put over into this thing that I'm just going to go to God to get something. So let me present some of this, and we'll see if we can get something from this. Amen? Proverbs 14:12. So here's the challenge with do-it-yourself. And my wife will not, she's not allowed to say amen at this point. But sometimes the problem with do-it-yourself is you come up with a way to fix it, and man, it takes, instead of just 10 minutes, it ends up being like all day. Has anybody experienced that, or has anybody wait like, better than me? Well, we had this lock on our old house that, you know, one of those kind you can put your finger on and it'll open and stuff like that. And it's like, why does it have to stop like right when we're trying to sell this house? It's like, what's the deal with that? And so I thought all it needed was one little part that I got just from Amazon initially, and then I found out it actually needs to be compatible with this device. So I had to order another one, and I get it and I put it in, and it still doesn't work. And I'm thinking, sheesh, I'm not good at this. And here's part, but I see it is kind of related to some of the stuff that we want to do ourselves also. But stuff that God is very good at taking care of, but we say, I think I can just go ahead and do this. And the problem is, it's not quite right, because what seems right to us is not going to include what is right to God, okay? So the world's source as the way is perilous. So here's what the bottom line in this is, we all need an answer to something, but what is the source of that answer going to be? And like I just confessed, I like to tap into AI and get some of that. But you know what? We have another place we can go initially, and if God's going to be our everything, we can make him the source. Yeah. Even if it's AI that we're using, God is our source. Right. Because I've had a lot of times where, man, I get an answer that, you ever find stuff that you've been looking for forever after you just said, God, help me find this? Yeah. It's like, Whoa. He's our God. What a God, what a God he is. Amen. But Proverbs 14, 12 says this. There is a way, and I'm calling this the way, okay? It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So there's some ways in there, isn't there? And this man, this is the crux of what I'm going to get. God is the God of a way. Amen? But the challenge is going to be, how do we let him be the God of the way? We need to get out of the way, right? So Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even do what? Make a way. This is the God that we have. He's the one that's going to make a way through the wilderness, right? And rivers in the desert. Things that cannot happen, right? So just a couple of examples is the children of Israel. But it happens. It's our human nature. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that makes us tend to find answers elsewhere right now. But it happened in the garden with Adam and Eve, didn't it? What did they do? They went to another source for their answer. Is that right? And that was the bottom line of what messed them up. God delivers Israel out of Egypt. They're slaves. God delivers them. And they depart from him in their solution to the answers that they need. They don't have food. He provides for them. That's still not enough. They get up to the Jordan to go into the promised land. It doesn't seem like it's going to work. Why? Because they're going to their answer to something other than God. And this is the bottom line. God doesn't want to just be part of our answer. It's him himself that is the answer. He's identified as, and we'll get there, okay. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So, if God being the answer, the way, is what needs to happen, then the only way for him to be that is if we acknowledge him as that. Is that right? Man, I love this passage. We're familiar with it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord. What is trust in the Lord? I'm going to him for the answer. Amen? Not just a way to do something. I'm going to him because he might have something completely different than what I think needs to happen. I think a lot of times with God, we come to God and we say, God, I need you to do this to this and this and this so you can be the answer to this problem. And God's saying, I want you to show up and acknowledge me as the one, as the answer, and let me be the answer. Because he'll do supernatural things. Children of Israel got up to the Red Sea, and what happened? That never entered their mind. They didn't even think about we're going across the sea, right? Did they? But you know what? They had a leader that had learned to turn to God for the answer.
That's good.
Amen?
Yeah. Praise God.
And all it takes is some of us. Amen? So I'm going to be the one. I'm going to turn to God and say, God, we need a way here. I'm not even going to begin to figure out what that is. I'm not going to go to the DIY at all. I'm not asking AI. I'm going to you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, God really likes this because it allows him to actually be God then. He's not the God of just answers. He is the answer. Amen? Are we getting this?
Yeah.
Praise God. Let's go to Colossians 2:2. So, this is actually what is God's plan in Jesus. Now, we're going to see some examples of this. It's really cool. He doesn't just bring us peace. He doesn't just bring us joy. He is joy. Amen? He is our peace. So we're not going to get peace apart from him. We get him and we get peace. That's why, partly why I was praying that way I was, as I was when we went into communion today. It is because when we say, you are my everything, these are the things he is.
Right.
Amen? I knew I was getting into this, so I was kind of inspired, all right? Colossians 2:2. The plan that God has isn't just to give you a manual of all the answers. It's to give you the answer, which is Jesus. Amen? This is what I have asked of God for you, that you will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love, that you will have the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and clear understanding. For God's, this is it, for God's secret plan. Do you like secrets? Do you like to be part of resolved mysteries? People didn't know this was coming. For God's secret plan is that all the answers that are going to be needed are Christ. Amen? For God's secret plan, now at last made known, is Christ himself. Not what he does, him. Amen? Now you'll get all he does, but and you'll get some things for you to do as well. But they're going to be coming from him. He's the source. Amen? In him lie hidden all the mighty untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen? If Eve only would have read this verse, don't listen to the snake. He's a liar. His way will not work. If you'll just listen, there's some footsteps in the garden fixing to draw near to you by your heavenly Father. And he is the one. Amen? All right, John 14. Got several verses to go through here, but man, this is good. So there was actually a lyric, and I can't remember which song it was. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man, let's take something from here, from our encounter with God today. Amen? Something that's changing us. Praise God. And so this is actually the main scripture we can take with us today. Let's read this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Why would your heart be troubled? It's because you're looking to a different source as the answer. You're looking to human strength. You're looking to your government. Right? You're looking to finances. And what are you doing? You're looking to the wrong source. And Jesus said, who's supposed to not let this happen? Well, we're just supposed to pray to God that we'll have peace in our heart. No, he said, you don't. How do you not? Well, you quit looking in the wrong place. Amen? Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. What do we say trust in God is? That's looking to him, isn't it? And trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. So he starts talking about the stuff that goes to security in your life, right? Says that there's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you'll always be with me where I am. And then he says this really weird thing. He says, and you know the way. Have you ever read this and think, I'm not quite getting that? He says, you know the way. And he's going to let them know here why they know the way to where I'm going. Look at, they're talking about where their destiny is, right? And it's a very real thing. It's a very practical thing. And he says, you know that way. And they say, no, we don't know. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And this is the reason why he says this next part, which I think is really cool. He says, well, duh, if you know me, you know the way. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. There's no destiny in your life at all without me. Is that right? If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Why? Because you know Jesus. You see how he's made? He says, I'm the way. If there's a truth for any kind of answer, I'm the truth. Oh, man, it's really way too easy. It's simple, and yet it's deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide, right? Because this relationship we have with God is something that is transformational when we actually go to what it's meant for. Our nearness to Him, our focus on His presence. Amen? Because it's in this relationship with this God that we cannot see, but bears witness with our spirit. That's why, man, we got to be walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Otherwise, there's these other voices that are saying, eat a little bit of fruit and you'll be brilliant. It's like, that's a lie. Is that right? All right, I'm just going to go through some of these things that Jesus is. It doesn't say that he will do this. It says this, he is. This is cool. Can you say this is cool? This is cool. All right. John 11:25. Jesus told her, I am what? The resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Don't you like this? This demolishes the fear of death, doesn't it? Amen? Right? So what is he? He doesn't just bring resurrection. He is resurrection. Man, we get him. Amen? John 6:35. Jesus replied, I am what? The bread of life. That's the staple, the thing that you have to live. Is that right? Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That means you're going to be supplied in the requirements of your life. Is that right? By what? By knowing how to pray correctly and ask for the right stuff? Well, that's going to be a part of it, but it's going to come because you're seeing him as the source. Not just something he's going to do for you. Amen? Because he might want to bring it in a completely different way than you think you have it packaged for. Is that right? All right. What is he? He's John 8:12. He says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light. What is the light? That's the thing that removes things, reveals things, right? Removes darkness that would hide stuff. Amen? That's actually a purifying thing as well, right? Yeah. Brings purification. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. God, I don't want you just to shine a light. I want you to be my light. Amen. But with each one of these things that he is, there's an opportunity for its application. Amen. I've got a flashlight on my phone, and it's always ready to go on. Sometimes it goes on when I don't mean for it to. Don't you like that? When it's been on in your pocket and you pull it out and it dies right then because you've had it on. But God is ready to be the light all the time. But he needs to be applied. He requires movement. He requires faith on our part. Amen? Amen. All right, here's another one. John 10:8. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely, and I will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You know, Keith Moore gives an example of this. He said, what is a good shepherd? And he said, you hear that the shepherd's coming, and you see him coming on a big horse over the, you know, you can see him appear over this hillside on his horse, and man, he's elegant, he's looking great. And, you know, his horse is a big white steed, you know, and he's clothed in these wonderful garments and everything. You think, that must be that's a pretty amazing shepherd there. But then you look as he comes over the hill and you see a sheep following after him. And they're all mangy and they're wobbling and they're looking like they can't see straight, you know. You think, well, that shepherd might look pretty good, but he's not a good shepherd. How do you know a good shepherd? By the sheep.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. By how the sheep are taken care of. Yeah. Is that right? Said, those other answers that you go to, those other sources, they're not me. They're not going to care for you. They're not going to take care of you. Only me. Said, I'm the good shepherd. Amen? All right, what else is he? John 15:5. Yes, I am what? The vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So when he says, I am the vine, that means it goes to the core of how you're made. You're made in this wonderful physical construction of God's masterful design, right? But for it to be applied and used in its fulfilled purpose, it requires some divinity to get involved. Is that right? And he said, when you get planted in me, you abide in me. And that's kind of what we're talking about with having fellowship with him. That comes before even his word. Recognizing his presence. And then you take every word that he says and you say, that's not just information. It's relationship coming to me. Amen? So what happens when you do that is you tap into the source of life. Amen? And you begin to draw stuff that you could never do before. And it will be known that you've been in this vine because you will begin to produce stuff that you couldn't have produced before. Because you've gone to a different source. What's kind of telling about this is don't get me into this, you don't know my heart stuff. Because Jesus is saying, they might not all know your heart, but they sure do see your fruit. Is that right? Says, no, I am the vine. If you want to get some good fruit, you're going to have to get in me. Amen? Are you liking this? Say, I'd be liking this. Yes. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God. Okay, so it's not saying he is, but he became this for us. Is that right? Look at this list of stuff. How many need some wisdom? I don't want God just to give me wisdom. I want him.
Yeah.
Amen? He became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. How many need to be right? Did you know what righteousness does? It infuses you with confidence. Because who you are is right. What you do is right. You're infused with righteousness. You become the righteousness of God in Christ. And sanctification. What does that mean? I'm being purged from anything that's unproductive. I'm made to be a vessel of honor. Amen? And redemption. That means I've been bought. He's become all of these. He doesn't just provide redemption. He is redemption. That means I'm freed from every curse. The price has been fully paid for me. when I get in him. Amen? Amen? That is written. He who glories, let him glory what? In the Lord. What are we talking about? In who he is. All these things. We can actually glory in this. This God of mine that I've gotten in his face. You know what he likes is when we respond to the reality of who he is as our God. As our vine. Amen? As our wisdom. Now what we do, now God's going to get glory because I'm operating in wisdom. Are you seeing this? Man, this is infused into the provision of relationship with God. I can't just claim to be one with him and answer Jesus' prayer to the Father if I'm not moving in the reality of these things of who he is. Each one of these names is an application in our life. Amen? Strength. How many like to have strength? Man, I'm working on it. I'm finding out you got to do something if you want to be strong. You don't just sit around and wait. God, make me strong. He says, well, go do something. All right. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is. He doesn't just give me strength. He is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Don't you like that? Amen? He is our strength. All right, a couple more here. Ephesians 2:14. For God himself is our way of peace. He has made peace between us Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one family, breaking down the wall of contempt that used to separate us. I don't know. I haven't been too affected by a separation between me and Jews, you know, but he's talking about something that was a very big thing, that you couldn't even know God, right? Apart from circumcision and the law and all these kinds of things. And he said, there was no commingling here. He said, but this is an example, though, I believe, of everything else that could be a conflict in our life. If God could do this, if he could bring unity so that we're all children of Abraham, amen, he's the God of peace. He is peace. He is peace. That means we get in his face, and it doesn't matter what's going on, what conflicts are going on in our life. We have a resource in him that isn't just going to bring peace. He is peace. Yes. Can you see the difference? Not looking at what he can do, but who he is and who he's become in us. Amen? Colossians 3:1. All right. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights, I think King James says affections, right? On the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He said, and when Christ, who, and this is the phrase right here, and when Christ, who is your life. Don't you like the connection here? He's not, it's not just Christ is life, because we saw that. He's resurrection, right? He's resurrection and the life. But what's he saying different here? He said, so that when Christ, who is your life. And this is where we're going today, isn't it? Amen? To where he's not just life. He is my life. That's his identification to me, is he is my life. Amen? Okay. Okay, so for this to take place, though, he cannot be just another option. He cannot be an addition. He has to be the only one. Philippians 3:8. Everything else is worthless. Everything else has to be counted as nothing compared to him. The snake crawls up and starts telling me how wise I can be if I just eat his fruit. I say, get thee behind me and under my foot and any place else that's going to cause you to be voiceless, because I'm only going to do one thing. That should represent every other opportunity that we would give ourselves to. Amen? The world is coming at us all the time with answers. We say, if this is not God, I'm not listening to it. Amen? All right. His voice is ever directing. Isaiah 30, 21. Your own ears, and this is where I want to end up here. This is the thing, man, this has really been impressing me, and I just want to encourage us in this. This God that we're talking about here, this God that we've been brought into new life with us right now, his presence is unending. I've just been so amazed. I'm thinking, he's a holy God. He's all powerful. He's almighty. He can do anything. And he doesn't put up with anything that's not right. And yet here he is with me all the time. What a work of redemption of the blood of Jesus. Amen? But how much I need to draw on that to live in it, to walk in it. Amen? I know I'm just stirring up stuff that we already know here today. But man, we should be encouraged in it. Amen? I feel like the football coach on the sidelines right now. He's not telling them anything they haven't heard before, is he? They've heard it a thousand times. But it's going to make a difference in this game. Amen. I want to encourage us. God isn't just somebody for you. He is your life. Amen. He is your joy. He is your strength. He is your peace. And he's never going to be too far for him to be that to you. Amen? Doesn't matter how you mess up. Doesn't matter who's done what. Man, he's here to be our peace always. Your own ears will hear him. Don't you like this? Say, my own ears. Yeah. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is what? The way. He is the way. Don't you like this? I saw this as actually kind of prophetic of Jesus, right? This is the way you should go. So I just want to challenge us. How many of you say, I just don't know what I should do? Anybody ever feel that way? I don't know where to go. I don't know how to get an answer. Here's what God wants to say to us today is, don't put that in your mouth anymore, because that's not coming from me. Amen. Amen. I am the way, the truth, the life. Amen. In fact, in the middle of the biggest challenge, the Egyptian armies rushing in upon you to destroy you, now is not the time to turn away from God, just to turn to him. Amen? And it's the greatest opportunity to see the blessing and the provision of God. Amen? That's why I count it all joy when you encounter stuff. How do you count that joy? You turn to the one who is the answer to whatever that difficulty is. Amen? Okay. And from Isaiah's prophecy to Matthew's fulfillment of this. And never forget that I am with you. What is he? He's peace, he's joy, he's redemption, he's all these kinds of things. And he's with me. Is that good? Every day, even to the completion of this age. Praise God. This is who we have today. He's a wonderful Savior. He's so far beyond any box that we could ever put him in, you know? And I'm grateful that he allows us to grow in our relationship with him.